Ebbins, Pennsylvania. Stebbins County Police Officer J.T. Hammond pushed on the crash bar and the door opened. There were bodies outside in the school parking lot. Scores of them, crumpled and broken. J.T. looked around for movement and saw none.
It's clear.
He stepped outside and held the door as the line of infected people shambled out. Adults and children. Billy Trout and J.T.'s partner, Desdemona Fox, came last, each of them holding a small child in their arms. The National Guardsmen popped several flares on the far side of the parking lot to attract the masses of living dead. On that side of the lot, behind the chain-link fence, all of the guard trucks sent up a continuous wail with their sirens. The dead shuffled that way, drawn by light and noise. One of the victims, a man who had been bitten by what had been his own wife and children, stared glassily at the stiffly moving bodies. Then he raised a weak arm and pointed to the soldiers.
"Are they coming to help us?"
he asked.
"They're coming," said Des, hating herself for the implied lie.
She told the wounded to sit down by the wall. Some of them immediately fell asleep. Others stared with empty eyes at the glowing flares high in the sky. For a moment, it left Des, J.T., and Trout as the only ones standing, each of them holding a dying child. The tableau was horrific and surreal. They stared at each other, frozen into this moment, because the next was too horrible to contemplate. Then they saw movement. J.T. peered into the shadows.
"They're coming."
"The guard?"
asked Des, a last flicker of hope in her eyes.
"No,"
he said. They heard the moans. For whatever reason, pulled by some other aspect of their hunger, a few of the dead had not followed the flares and the sirens, and now they staggered toward the living, standing by the open door. More of them rounded the corner of the building, perhaps drawn by a more powerful force. The smell of fresh meat.
"We have to go,"
said Trout.
"And right now,"
agreed J.T. He kissed the little boy on the cheek and set him down on the ground between two sleeping infected. Trout sighed brokenly and did the same. Des Fox clung to the little girl in her arms.
"There's more of them,"
said Trout.
"Des, come on,"
murmured J.T. But Des turned away, as if protecting the little girl she held from him.
"Please, Hoss."
"Des,
I can't."
"Give her to me, honey,"
J.T. said gently.
"I'll take care of her. Don't worry."
It took everything Des had left to allow J.T. to take the sleeping girl from her arms. She shook her head, hating him, hating the world, hating everything.
"Better get inside,"
J.T. warned. Some of the zombies were very close now. 20 paces. Trout ran to the door.
"Des, J.T., come on. We have to go. We can't leave this open or they'll get inside."
Des reluctantly moved toward the door, backing away from the child she had to abandon. Trout reached and took her hand, and when she returned his squeeze, it was crushingly painful. He pulled her toward the door as the first of the dead stepped into the pale glow thrown by the emergency light.
"J.T., come on, let's go,"
Trout yelled. The big cop did not move. He held the little girl so gently, stroking her hair and murmuring to her.
"J.T.," cried Des, "we have to close the door."
He smiled at her.
"Yeah,"
he said.
"You do."
They waited for him to come, but he stayed where he was.
"J.T.?"
Des asked in a small, frightened voice.
"What's wrong?"
J.T. kissed the little girl's forehead and set her down with the others.